All right, what's up, y'all? Welcome to the Sports Medicine Broadcast, again, live at the Memorial Harmon Sports Medicine Update here at Katy Legacy Stadium. I'm joined with John Feit, physical therapist, did a presentation on pain and just talking about how there needs to be a paradigm shift to where we are no longer calling it like a pain signal, but it's a danger alert signal, and then we feel pain after it's been processed by the brain. So, John, let's get started. Where did this idea come up, or like, how did you decide, hey, I want to do a talk on pain?
Yeah, it's kind of a long background story, I guess. When I was a student at first for physical therapy, I was in the county, Houston County Hospital, so most of the patients had pain for at least 6 months. So in school, you're taught the traditional biomedical model, so you walk out thinking you can kill it, you know, people in pain. And then I had a rude awakening when it was a totally different story because everybody had chronic pain, which I had none in school, you know, delivered to me at least. Mm-hmm. So from then I knew I was missing something. So I started doing research and reading and just following people like Adrian Lowe, Lorimer Moseley, reading what they had to put out. And it kind of changed the way I looked at just the human itself. I mean, and pain in general. So mainly it was me going out and finding stuff. And I think that I've been out of school for 5 years, but it sounds like some schools are actually putting in chronic pain information now, so it's more accessible to students. But it was a kind of self-fulfilled journey, I guess.
Very interesting.
A lot of reading and trial and errors in the clinic, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, so the shift from danger alert system, is that some of the stuff that you've been reading from some of those people that you quoted and you just mentioned there, or is that something you came up with yourself?
No, that's entirely just from reading what's been out there. There was a couple of books. David Butler wrote one. That's where I first read about it. Biggest thing is a lot of times when someone's in pain, we immediately think something's going on like from the periphery. So like if you have knee pain, obviously it's from tissues in your knee, right? So that's what someone would say is like a top-down approach, or bottom-up approach. So you take the periphery, right? There's painful tissues in your knee. So in its most simplest form is, hey, yeah, it's painful there, but pain's an origin of your brain. So unless you educate kind of that patient what's going on and figure out what their thoughts and beliefs are, if it's not straightforward nociceptive pain, if it's central sensitization, any kind of chronic pain, then you're going to miss the boat with those people. But pain itself, there's kind of three buckets. There's nociception or nociceptive pain, which is like acute pain, which is pretty easy to fix, right? You figure out which tissue's pissed off. Let's stop doing that. Let's offload this. Let's strengthen this areas around it to offload it. And that should get better within a few weeks to a month, right? And then you have people in chronic pain. So they walk into your door. Hey, John, I've had back pain for, you know, 8 months to 2 years, right? You're not really thinking it's a tissue issue in their back at that point. Now it's long enough that tissue should have healed, right? Mm-hmm. They still have pain. Now the pain's worse. Like when it just started in my back, now it's getting more widespread. There's a lot of fear avoidance thing that goes along with it. So I'm not doing this at home anymore. I can't do this. So usually there's all these negative maladaptive changes. So it starts painting this picture like, whoa, I need to start talking to this patient in general before I even kind of put my hands on them to figure out where they are mentally. And so that's kind of like a central sensitization bucket, which is the whole pain system, danger signal system. And then the third bucket would be like neuropathic pain. So, hey, John, I've had back pain for 3 years, and you do a neuro screen. I've had back pain for 3 years. I've had pain down my leg. They for sure have neural changes, so diminished reflexes, mild tumor weakness, all these things saying that there's definitely nerve compression. That's kind of like a third bucket of people. So initially when I first learned about pain science, I just talked about central sensitization patients. Like I just talked to them about pain, and the other two groups, I just kind of did what I needed to do. But now it's more of just the way I speak to people in general. So that's kind of the biggest change in my practice after studying pain and the danger systems and all that.
So what do those conversations look like in real life? So, all right, just say right now, okay, my knee hurts. You know, I've just started running. Like, this is for real. My knee hurts. And,
this is
you know,
for real.
Yeah, as an athletic trainer, I know that it could be related to my hip. My ankle could be that, you know, that I'm wearing a new pair of shoes and it's causing my ankle to roll a certain way while I'm running. And so say that, how are you going to talk to me about pain? What's that look like?
Yeah, so, I mean, initially I'd say, like, cool, man, how long have you had pain for?
3 weeks.
3 weeks? So that's pretty acute. Like, in my head, I don't have any big yellow flags going that saying, hey, don't say anything that's going to scare him. Like, you don't seem to be too scared of it, right?
Right.
If it's, hey, I've been running for 6 months, you know, and it's usually that's, it's not that simple with chronic pain patients. It's usually back pain. It's widespread. It's, you can't put your finger on it, mm-hmm. you know? So for you, I would definitely say like, hey, mechanics do matter. If you look at the research for shoes and core and all that, that's all very important. You know, wear shoes that are comfortable. Let's talk about mileage. So for you, it's more of figuring out a plan. Like, that doesn't present to me like a pain problem. That's more of like, you definitely have knee pain from something, like, you know, the weakest point's breaking down. So I'm not going to sit here and dump 20 minutes of pain science on you. I'm going to go straight to, how many miles are you doing? Have you had an increase in workload from acute, you know, to a large workload, anything like that? So I'm going to think mechanically and more biomedical versus if you're like, hey, John, so I started having leg pain like 6 or 8 months ago. Like, where do you feel it? And it's this huge, large descriptive map. Like, it's over the front, it's the back. Like, these people, you're thinking that doesn't really fit a pattern. That doesn't seem mechanical. It doesn't seem like it's neuropathic, kind of radiating from the back. It's not following a dermatome. So that's generally where you want to be very aware of the words you're saying with the person.
So what does that look like, being aware of the words?
Yeah. It's just very complex, right? So let's say if it's somebody straightforward, chronic pain, comes in with back pain. Hey, John, I've had back pain for 8 months, right? And this is like an actual person I evaluated 2 weeks ago, okay? So he had back pain for 8 months. Obviously, when you have back pain, you don't know what's going on. I think he studied business, so he didn't have any anatomy, anything like that. Goes to the doc. Doc's like, cool, let's shoot an x-ray. Shoots an x-ray. Sure enough, the guy was in his 40s. Well, you have degenerative disc disease. You know, all these things captured by the x-ray, right? So now that guy had back pain. And for him, it was 8 months, but it was very central to the back still. It wasn't going into his legs, anything like that. It was kind of like where his upper back meets his low back, right? And so he's telling me these things, and I'm like, yeah, it doesn't really sound like a disc issue, anything like that. So in my brain, I'm thinking, you know, what's going on? And then the doc says, hey, you know, we can try physical therapy, whatever. So he shoots him across the hall. I'm like, okay, cool, what's going on, man? Yeah, so he starts telling me I've had back pain. My imaging shows I have degenerative disc disease, so my imaging is showing that my discs are hurting me, is what he's basically saying. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, okay, that's fair, you know, whatever. So we do a thorough eval. I'm just asking him questions, trying to figure out where he is in his head, in his headspace, right? I do my eval. I rule out anything bad, obviously. So his reflexes are the same in his legs, right? If you have back pain for 8 months and one leg's significantly weaker than the other and your reflexes change and you have sensory issues, none of that's good, right? That's probably grounds for something's definitely going on in your back that needs to be addressed. For him, no pain in the legs, equal sensation both sides, right? Equal strength, reflexes are the same, nothing showing any kind of hard neural changes. Okay, that's good to know. And then he moves up, and I'm like, can you point to where your back hurts? So his imaging showed degenerative disc disease and a mild disc bulge at like L5, S1, which is in the lower part of your back, obviously. And he points to like T12 to L2, like it hurts up in here, you know. You look at the imaging, all that was fine, that area on imaging. But in his brain, right, that piece of paper said his back pain was caused from this disc bulge. But nobody had talked to him about it, right? So I'm like, okay, I do my eval. He moves. His movement pattern shows he's relatively stiff in his spine, but he moves a lot in that area where he's had pain for 8 months, you know. I do my full eval, sit him down, and I'm like, all right, man, like, here's the good news, right? So with these people, you have to be very positive, because if you have back pain for 8 months, and it wasn't debilitating, he was still running through it and working out and going to work, but it can be depressive, you know, not knowing what's going on, and scary in its own sense. So I'm like, well, go ahead and tell me what you think is going on. He's like, well, I have degenerative disc disease. Like, that was the end of the conversation, right? And I'm like, okay, you know, based on your image, right? So let's look at your image. We pulled his image out. We looked at his imaging. And sure enough, it showed mild degenerative disc disease, which happens in your 20s. This man's 40, so he's had this slow change for over 20 years, which isn't a bad thing, right? It's slow. It doesn't have to be painful. And this is the story I'm just laying out. Like, it's very specific. So I take this person, and I'm paraphrasing everything they just told me in the last 30 minutes, right? And now I'm building the case to them that they're going to be okay. Because people with chronic pain, it's, if I have pain, I should have tissue damage, right? But the truth is, you don't have tissue damage, you have pain, which is a nervous system issue, right? So I'm literally educating this guy's brain that it's going to be okay. And that's what's going to make him feel better, right? Because there's nothing wrong with his spine, okay? So we go through his imaging. I'm like, yeah, you definitely have degenerative disc disease. You have a mild bulge, L4, L5, S1. where was your back pain again? He points up here, and I'm like, oh, interesting. So let's get a spine model out. So L5-S1's actually, like, down here. Have you ever had pain here? And then he just kind of looks at you like, no? Like, obviously, I just told you it's here, right? Mm-hmm. And I'm like, well, the imaging, the disc bulge is down here. So if you have pain from this disc bulge, theoretically, it should be here and below. He's like, well, it's not. And I'm like, so what do you think about that, right? And that's when you get them, right? Because it makes sense. You're educating this person. It's going to be okay. So what do you think it is, John? Because now I want him over, right? Yeah. Well, the issue is, you know, you're not using your core, right? You don't do any days core. All you do is you either run and then you do, you know, 1 to 2 days of resistance training every 3 months, you know? So pain with back pain, it's either a bad movement pattern or bad luck, right? It's like you bend over and twist wrong, boom, goes away. Or you do the same thing over and over again and your brain's like, stop loading that. So for him, it was like, hey, well, the good news is, like, yeah, you do have degenerative changes in your spine, but you're 40. That starts in your 20s. So that's not a threat, right? That doesn't necessarily mean you have to be in pain because that's normal with everybody, right? On the outside, you get gray hairs and wrinkles. On the inside, your spine ages. So this is the conversation we're having. Mm-hmm. This is where we're going with this, right? I'm trying to tell them, you're not alone. This has happened to everybody. Like, we're trying to wind down this.
Normalizing it, yeah.
Yeah, you know? We're trying to de-threaten the experience that nobody's confronted. You know, it's just like, oh, yeah, imaging shows. And there's not a good correlation to that. And he's 40, you know? So the good news is you do have these changes on your spine, but you don't have hard neural changes. You know, you don't have any sensory issues. Your reflexes are the same. Now, if you had imaging that showed a disc bulge and there was actually neural compression on the spinal cord or just a cord on the bottom, right? and you had reflexive changing, all these things, that's a different story. Like, you don't have that. That's not your story. Your story is you have normal age-related change on your back, and you fail to use your core when you run and lift and do things, right? So there's some things we can clean up to help with your back pain. And then you just kind of educate them on what you found. This is what this means. I'm 100% confident that we can get you better. This is not the end of it. Just because your imaging shows this doesn't mean you have to be in pain, right? And that's where it starts. So now this person's brain, it's no longer trying to protect them from what is an unknown threat, right? So you have to... It's very specific to the patient. You have to ask them what they've been through, what do they think is going on. You have to paraphrase everything they're saying to match them because everyone's pain experience is different, right? And that's just a simple example from back pain. So from him, literally, I, you know, did some manual therapy, manipulated his spine. There's good research that it helps with muscle activation and releases some feel-good hormones in your brain. And I'm telling him all these things, right? So now I'm telling his brain what we're going to do to make him feel better. So sure enough, manipulate him, feels great. These are some spinal hygiene exercises, right? You brush your teeth daily, but you should move your spine daily in areas you don't usually move. Gave him some basic mobility stuff. Hey, this is what it means to use your core. What you're doing is you're not using your core, you're loading your spine. So your brain's literally telling you, stop loading your spine, use your muscles, right? And then that's when it clicks. That's when it makes sense. Oh, well, that does make sense because that's usually when it hurts is when I do activities. So then it's literally... educate this person, defocus them on it, and then build them up. So now let's get the core strength. Let's do some functional lifting. Let's go do some running. Now that he's educated on what's going on, it's less of a threat. His pain experience is less intense. His brain's not going to try and protect him from what he thinks is every time I run, my disc is getting bigger. Every time I run, this jelly's running down my spine from the donut, right? But it's until you capture what's going on inside this person's head and really explain to them what's going on and this is what it means and this is what it isn't, it's tough to get this whole kind of chronic pain system stuff down, you know?
So this is the third day of sports medicine conference I've been to in the last 4 days. And all 3 days I've heard someone mention listen, question deeply, and connect. And that's essentially what you're doing.
Yeah.
You're listening. You're really finding out what it is. You're connecting with them. And then you're building upon that to show hope rather than just saying, oh, well, you got disc disease. And so the rest of your life is just going to be downhill. No, you know, we're going to be able to move through this because I'm going to explain this. And so that's really what it is. It's just listening,
but
also
sure.
Educating them that you have pain because it's a feeling after there's been an alert.
Yeah.
So
I mean, it's not even like pain science in its most simplest form. And that's what it is. Like, it's not just about a danger signal or a pain signal. That's just a play on words. But the way what changes your practice is it's patient centered in the sense that, like, I want to know what's going on in my patient's head the whole time. So if we go do a new exercise, right, if we're showing somebody who's had back pain in the past and we're deadlifting, where do you feel that? I want to know what they're thinking the whole time. If they feel it just in their back, right, that's going to cue me like, you know, let's change your form up, let's do this, because you should feel gluten hams, right? So it's the conversation is you have to really figure out what's going on in that patient's mind, because it's pain's an output of your brain 100% of the time, and it's that person's story. And so you have to get these people better, it's more of creating a therapeutic alliance is what some people say, right? So it's about giving them hope, because none of them have hope. It's listening to them. It's telling them what they need to hear, what they want to hear. Hopefully they want to engage on it. So you have to look at this large stage of change, right? So if they're on like this pre-contemplation stage and they're not even close to preparation or wanting to do action, then maybe that patient's not ready to hear it. But literally it's listening to them, de-threaten whatever's threatening them. So you have to build confidence up and then calm down whatever they're trying to protect themselves from, essentially.
Very good. So any other thoughts on your talk, things you didn't cover there or in here?
Not really. If you want to reach out, just email me, john.fyatt@memorialherman.org. As far as pain science, it's something, it doesn't change your practice. Like, it doesn't make, you don't have to throw stuff out. It's just your discussions with your patients change. You know, how you speak to your patients change, how you look at your patients changes, you know, and it's kind of awkward to learn at first from people because it's saying, hey, forget everything you learn because it's not true, right? And it's kind of, it makes you go into a defensive, like your visceral response is like, this is different.
Yeah.
Like, why is everyone teaching it this way, you know? But we're in the science. So there's a science and there's an art to it. So the clinicians that are implementing it, like, you can definitely see the difference in their patients versus someone else. And that's kind of where the art of connecting with somebody happens. Like, that's the whole pain science. It's giving somebody's brain what it wants to hear at the right time and giving them the reasons to do it, right? So you have to know your stuff. You still have to know your biomechanics. You still have to know your anatomy. And then you have to use all that to convince the person that it's going to be okay. Like, this is not a life-threatening deal. You're going to be fine. These are all the reasons why, you know? So everything's still important. It's just one piece of the puzzle and how you kind of portray it to the patient, which is pain science, which is don't scare them, give them confidence and build them up. Because a lot of times if you follow just the traditional biomedical model with tissue damage equals pain, then obviously there's there's ways you can scare a patient. They call it like a nocebo. Mm-hmm. So you say something and then they just hold on to that and now they no longer want to do it, right? So it's more of just how you talk to your patients.
Yeah. Very good. Cool. I like it. It's definitely a reminder. You know, I know you put the image of the Band-Aid with the kid up there. I'm like, I have three kids, seven, five, and a three-year-old. I'm like, quit freaking giving them Band-Aids. There's no blood. But my wife gives them Band-Aids, and they feel better.
Yeah.
And it's just one of those things, you know what? Just give them the Band-Aid. Give them the Band-Aid, Jeremy. Just give them the Band-Aid.
Yeah, you're just giving the brain what it wants, which is, I don't want to see it. I want mom to touch me.
Removing
and let me know I'm going to live.
Yeah.
Yeah. That opens their internal drug cabinet, so your brain releases feel-good hormones,
and
then you just kind of move on, right? So it's the words you say to a patient, it can harm them and it can help them. Mm-hmm. So you can scare them and make their stress hormones engage, want to protect themselves more, or you can tell them things that give them hope, make them want to feel better. And a lot of times with these patients, it's just a conversation you have. They're like, man, I already feel better. Like, we didn't even do anything. I already feel better, right? Mm-hmm. And that's literally a neurophysiological change of the brain. So you tell them what they want to hear. Internal brain, drug cabinet opens, right? Your brain dampens down the danger signals, right? Not pain signals. And now the person's motivated to move. They're making changes. They're going to do stuff.
All right, so John, JohnFite. So it's john.fite@memorialherman.org. If you want to email him, maybe get some of his resources on the brain science or the pain science that he mentioned here, or hopefully we got all that, the content from the presentation. So again, this is sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/fite, FITE 2018. Again, sportsmedicinebroadcast.com/FITE 2018. If you want to check out this episode or share it with somebody else. Thanks.